Please stand as you're able to do so. That's why I have a microphone. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Uh-oh. But who do you say that I am?
You, Jesus, the Son of the living God.
And so you can hear his sermon. I am filling in. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved others with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have saved in the name of Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with the power through the Holy Spirit that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
And I believe the children can be released for jam. Let me step do the offering or opening hymn. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Church of
God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Test, test, test. Test, test, test.
Faithful followers of every age, we praise you, the rock of our life. Be our strong foundation and form us into the body of your Son, that we may gladly minister to all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated for the readings.
The first reading is from Isaiah, the 51st chapter. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness. You that seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places, and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of the song. Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me, my nation. For a teaching will go out from me, and my justice for a light to the peoples. I will bring near my deliverance swiftly. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlands wait for me, and for my arm, they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment. And those who live in it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever. And my deliverance will never be ended. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in singing verses 1 through 3 and 6 of All Hail the Power of Jesus, name based on Psalm 138.
Thank you.
The second reading is from Romans, the 12th chapter. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and not all members have the same function. So we who are many are one in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise be.
Nothing. I don't know. All right. It's a horrible process here. Whoa, hey! It's that horrible process here in the ELCA where we send candidates that believe they're called for rostered ministry, people like me, through a series of interviews and other such things, what we call candidacy, I call hazing. And hazing is supposed to be illegal now. First, you have entrancing. You have to be entranced into this wonderful process. To do this, you have to send your family away. You have to send your family away for like an entire day, and they go do their thing. And then you spend that whole day writing a bunch of essays so this candidacy committee can read them. And then you have to write these essays for your psychological evaluation, and then you spend 2 days being psychologically evaluated. And then you have to go through this interview. You go through this interview. I meant to say interview. This is entrancing. You do all of this. You write essays to get admitted to a seminary. So you start seminary, you get in, you start seminary, right? You take classes, you learn about theology and church history and dogmatics and Lutheran confessions and preaching and on and on and on, though they didn't tell me how to preach when I couldn't talk. You do clinical pastoral education. So you learn how to do pastoral care. And at some point, they say, here are 9 more essays that you have to answer. Answer them. And I say, I'm not going to do it. I'm sick of being hazed. For 11 months, I say this. And eventually, at the urging of your wife, at the urging of your mom, at the urging of your council president, at the urging of your supervisor and the candidacy coordinator for the synod, you write them. You're grumpy about it, but you write them. And then you go sit down for this interrogation. More French fry lights, more interrogation. And finally, you're ready to graduate seminary. You've taken like 25 or 30 classes, and still you're not done. More hazing. You go to approval. You must be approved now. 9 more essays, and by the way, provide us a sermon that you wrote. This isn't the sermon that you provide, by the way. And when that's done, sit down for a conversation with 2 seminary professors. You might think that that part was nerve-wracking, but that was actually the best part of the whole process. And then they have to recommend you for approval to the entire seminary faculty. They vote and send something called a Form D to the candidacy committee. And I think we can all agree at this point that the D stands for dumb. This whole process, dumb. And now, after what for me had been nearly 3 years, you're ready for your approval interrogation. Sorry, I keep messing that up. Interview, approval interview. So, who's up for this? Any takers? Any takers? Anyone want to be a Lutheran pastor? No? I wonder why there aren't enough Lutheran pastors. You know, I'm pretty sure of it, that Jesus did not put his disciples through this ridiculous process. Jesus did not do this to them. Although, when I was writing this sermon, I did think, maybe if Jesus did put his disciples through this, you know, that whole Judas thing maybe wouldn't have happened. I'm just saying. think about it. But that doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't ask his disciples questions, does it? Today, Jesus asks his disciples a very, very important question. He says, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? This question is so important, in fact, that it is included in 3 of the 4 Gospels. The so-called synoptic gospels, Matthew that we heard from today, Mark, Luke, and John. Sorry, oops, my bad. Apparently I didn't go to seminary. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic gospels. But not to be outdone, the gospel of John, the weird cousin of these synoptic gospels, I would argue, asks this question as well. In John chapter 6, Jesus spends a long time talking about bread. It's like the whole chapter 6, there's like 70 verses in there. And we hear it and we think, when we hear this, we think, oh, he's talking about communion. But that was before the whole, you know, Last Supper thing. So the Jews that heard it, they probably thought, oh, cannibals. Follow me on this. Listen to what Jesus said. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. Okay. You're a Jew in a synagogue in the year zero. And you hear Jesus say that. Well, maybe the year 32. I don't know. What do you think? That's crazy to hear, right? So everybody, almost, turns and walks away. But not the 12. Not the 12. And Jesus turns and looks at the remaining 12 and he asks, do you wish to go away also? And this is, I think, why John has a version of that question also, because of how Peter answered. Listen to Peter's proclamation here. In a moment of clarity and profundity, Simon Peter answers, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Sound familiar? I was supposed to sing this, but I don't know that I'm going to. Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words. Somebody help me. Like, you know how to sing. Anyway, that's our alleluia as we go in to read the gospel, right? That's where that came from. Huh. The occasionally brilliant Peter. Where are we going to go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. You are the Holy One of God. And who do you say that I am? Asked Jesus. Peter gives three slightly different answers across the synoptic Gospels. In Matthew today we hear, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He gets shorter in Mark. You are the Messiah. And in Luke he says, you're the Messiah of God. But who do we say? Who do we say that Jesus is? So I was entranced into candidacy. I got into seminary. I finished an entire year of clinical pastoral education. I was 2 weeks before seminary graduation, early May of this year, just like 3 months ago. Between candidate essays and seminary and sermons and ponderings and papers, I did like some quick math in my head. I think it's fair to say that I've, over the last 3 years, have written approximately a half a million words about the Christian faith. A half a million words, think about that. So in May, I sat down for this endorsement interrogation. So I was ready. I was ready. So quick reminder, entrance, endorsement, approval. This was the one in the middle. How many uses of the law are there and what are they? Tell me about law and gospel, Sean. What makes a sacrament a sacrament? Why do we baptize infants in the first place? What's the name of the Lone Ranger's nephew's horse? Victor. It's Victor. If you've never watched A Christmas Story, that's where that joke's from. And you should watch it. I was ready to answer any question that was thrown at me. Sean, who is Jesus to you? Excuse me, what? Who is Jesus to you, Sean? Why do you love Jesus? Victor, I was ready to answer almost any question that was thrown at me. Law and gospel, the sacraments, Lutheran confessions, the Chalcedonian formula. I had my answers ready. Sean, who is Jesus to you? Why do you love Jesus? Silence. Now, you're asking yourself, Sean, how long did you sit there? You're like, couldn't have been that bad. Probably like, what, 10, 15 seconds? No. That would have been a reasonable amount of silence. I sat there easily for 3 minutes, 4 maybe. And I didn't say a word. I didn't know what to say. Eventually, I started spouting off stuff I had learned from seminary, stuff from the Book of Concord, the Lutheran Confessions. And each time they would stop me, "Sean, we can read those books. We can read those books. We don't need you to read those books to us. Why do you love Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? What difference has Jesus made in your life?" And again, I would answer out of a textbook. "Sean, from your heart, not from your head, not from your head." And that made me so angry because, like, every Sunday that I stand up here, it is from the heart. Why could I not speak from the heart in that moment? But I couldn't do it. And because they are nice people, because they are very nice people, they eventually accepted one of my half-brained, half-hearted answers. They endorsed me, but they were exceptionally clear. They were very clear about it. They said, "Sean, you changed careers in your 30s to become a pastor. You changed careers in your 30s to become a pastor. People don't just do that on their own. Why did Jesus and the Holy Spirit call you to this? Why did you answer? Who is Jesus to you? Why do you love Jesus?" And as much as we want to, we cannot approve you if you cannot answer that question from your heart. I made it through the endorsement interrogation, but just barely. Just barely. Who do you say that Jesus is? Who do you all say that Jesus is? Jesus is someone to you, right? Jesus is someone to you. I know that Jesus is someone to you because you're here. You could be at home right now. You could be attending St. Mattress of the Springs. That's a lot of people's favorite church, but you're not. You could be in your favorite chair, sipping coffee, and doing what? Be honest what you'd be doing if you were sitting in your chair sipping coffee. You'd be scrolling Facebook. I know you. I know you people. I'm watching you. You could be at Whistle Stop. You could be at Granny's. You could be beating those crowds of those churchy people with some scrambled eggs and bacon and hash browns, maybe a stack of pancakes if you're going all out this morning. But you're not. You are here today, this morning. Why? Why do you love Jesus enough to give up your Sunday mornings? To volunteer your time to do mission work here in the church and out in the community? Why are you on council? Why are you on committees? Why do you care about the name of this future consolidated thing that we're doing here? Why do you care? Why do you evangelize? Why do you bother to tell people that you're a Christian? Why do you bother to tell people about Jesus? Why do you do this? Who is Jesus to you? Or as Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? This is the single most important question that we as Christians must, and I mean must, answer. As Christians, first and foremost, we are called to witness to Jesus Christ. But if we can't answer the question, how can we possibly do the most important thing we're called to do? How can we possibly witness to Jesus Christ? If I walk into Three Bean Coffee Shop across the street with my collar on, which I probably won't do because I hate this collar, and someone says, "What's up with the whole Jesus thing?" They don't care about my seminary answer. They don't care about the textbook answer. They're not going to give me 3 or 4 minutes while I stare at them blankly. I get 10 seconds, maybe 15. Can you deliver a coffee shop witness? That's what I've come to call it.
a coffee shop witness in a sentence or two. That's all you need, a sentence or two that tells people who Jesus is to you. And who do you say that I am, asked Jesus. Peter says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Do you wish to go away, asked Jesus. Lord, to whom can we possibly go? You have the words of eternal life. You are the Holy One of God. Peter's got it figured out. Until next week, of course, we'll get there. But do we have it figured out? Why do you love Jesus? Why are you here today? What is your coffee shop witness? For me, I had to step back from the essays upon essays upon essays, the classes and the book learning, the uses of the law, the sacraments, the church history, the Lutheran confessions, those 500,000 words, although somewhere in there the answer was. I had to step out of my head, this thing, and search into my heart. I asked myself why, when I'm here with all of you, when I'm sharing the gospel, when I'm preaching, when I'm sometimes yelling, right, Kathy? When I sometimes yell, because I can't contain the feeling of love I have for Jesus, what is that feeling that makes me do this? That feeling that overwhelms me, that I want you all to feel and experience and go and proclaim and witness to that feeling. What is it? This overwhelming feeling and conviction in my heart. This is my love for Jesus. All right, Adam, I promised you'd be up. Congregation, I need you to open your hymnals. They're those red-looking things. I know you don't like to use them. Hymn 609, Chief of Sinners Though I Be. We're going to sing verse 1. Trust me, this all connects. Go ahead, Adam. Say that I am. You, Jesus, as this hymn says, are my only hope for eternal life, for the life after this one. But that's not all, is it? I mean, that's a lot. That would be enough. But Jesus is way more than that. Adam, one more time. Congregation, verse 4. Say that I am. You, Jesus, know my wants. You take my sorrows upon yourself. You sustain me in this life. Jesus, you are my only hope for this life, too. So my coffee shop witness starts with this hymn. It starts with this hymn. Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus is my source of all hope, not just for the next life, but for this life too. That's not from my head. That's from my heart. And do you know why I couldn't find this answer in my head? After Peter made his proclamation, Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." This wasn't Peter's answer. This was God's answer. When we allow space for God, that space we allow is not up here. It's right here. It's in our hearts. As the Apostle Paul reminds us from 1 Corinthians, none of this makes sense. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. God, the Holy Spirit, works on these, on our hearts. So I ask one more time, what is your coffee shop witness? Who do you say that Jesus is? What difference does Jesus make in your life? And if you're struggling to answer this question, don't think about it. I tried, doesn't work. Pray about it. Pray for the Holy Spirit to move in and through you. And pray to be overwhelmed by foolishness. A foolishness that is the source of all hope for this life. For this life and for the next. It's for this foolishness that I, of course, say, thanks be to God. Amen. Now, calling an audible, you have to use your hymnals. We are going to sing Chief of Sinners all the way through. Hymn 609. 609.
Thank you.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in
God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Confident that God receives our joys and concerns, let us offer our prayers for the church, those in need, and all of creation.
God of Sarah and Abraham, inspire your church to pursue righteousness in its ministry. Equip us to share your compassion that unites us as one family in faith here at First Lutheran, across the churches of our Lutheran partnership in Galleon, Crawford County, and beyond. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Remind us that from the beginning of creation, you knit together a world meant for harmony and called on humanity through Adam and Eve to tend and keep the earth. Give us the will to work alongside your creation and protect and restore the wasted places to joy and gladness. Hear us, O God.
Steer the leaders of the nation, including the United States and cities, including Galleon, militaries and lawmakers, to respond to your teachings. Let your call for justice reach all people and bring deliverance where there is oppression. Hear us, O God.
Show your steadfast love and faithfulness to those in despair, including the residents of Maui that have been devastated by wildfire, the residents of Mexico and America's Southwest who have experienced flooding and loss from Hurricane Hillary, and in parts of Los Angeles, where the suffering has been compounded by a minor earthquake. Increase their strength, protect those offering assistance on the front lines, care for all who feel low, keep safe any in the midst of trouble, and shield vulnerable people from harm. Heal the sick, especially Jim, Bobby, Jack, Beth, Linda, Marcella, Karen, Sandy, Jamie, Deb, Frida, Bill, Linda, Ed, Wilma, Cheryl, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Encourage those who offer their gifts and talents in the service of your church. Energize this church's vicar, lay leaders, musicians, teachers, diaconia graduates, greeters, and administrators, so they may be transformed in sharing your grace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, in the name of the one who reconciled all creation to himself, Jesus Christ, our Savior.
At this time, we will continue worship with our gifts and offerings.
And peace. And our peace.
And peace. Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
And now we will continue with our gifts and our offerings. Hey, I'm not, it wasn't you. It's me.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of field and forest, sea and sky, you are the giver of all good things. Sustain us with these gifts of your creation and multiply your graciousness in us, that the world may be fed with your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father,
we are fed by God's very own self with God's very own hand. Come to the table where all are welcome. Mike.
Thank you.
please stand as you're able to do so. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We thank you, generous God, for the refreshments we have received at this banquet table. Send us now to spread your generosity into all the world through the one who is our dearest treasure, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
You may be now approved. Sorry, Jeff, I can't figure out which way is on. It doesn't, anyway. So, I'm happy to say that I will be, there's like 18 more steps for now this church and for me, but we will be moving forward rather quickly now through getting me ordained and officially installed as pastor rather than installed as vicar. So, I absolutely look forward to that, and I could not say enough thank yous to all of you for walking with me and continuing to walk with me through this process. I could not imagine a better place to have walked through the last 2 years. So thank you all for that. And now I will hand the microphone over to Mike so he can give a few announcements.
All right. Today's the last day to collect the submissions for a new name for the church. Wednesday, the task force will be meeting and gathering all that information. So if we could gather all that stuff up. Also, reminder, there's a congregational meeting September 10th, immediately following service. And today's noisy offering is going to be a special collection for Thomas Palmer. Next Sunday will be his last day with us, and following that, we are going to have a little, like a brunch, and I think you're doing breakfast type of casseroles and bagels and stuff, because that was his favorite thing to eat, I guess, so. So please come and join us for that afterwards, so. But next month, the noisy offering is going to start going to Hopewood Shores. We're going towards that. So, Grief Share Fall Session starts Monday, September 11th from 6:30 to 8:30 at St. Paul's United Methodist Church, 746 Cherry Street. And we're going to begin a 5-week study on the Lutheran liturgy on Wednesday, September 6th, and it will go through October 4th at Trinity Lutheran Church here in Galleon, starting at 7 p.m. So if anybody has any questions on that, please feel free to ask myself, Vicar Sean, or Pastor Rich Gensman. Any of us can help you out with the time and days and where at exactly in case you forget, because I know I will. Also, Vicar Sean is interested in offering an adult education on Sundays. This could be before service from 8:30 in the morning till 9:15, or after service at 10:45 to 11:30. The topics can be flexible. Some of them could be the Lutheran Confessions, lectionary Bible study. We can pick a book out of the Bible and go through it. Please let him know. He'd like to get started very soon.
Quick thought. Who wants to meet before church? Who wants to meet after church? Yes.
He is not a morning person, so thank you all for going afterwards.
All right. Eric did that one.
Yep.
So. And what I love about this place is how many people have stepped up today to help, because I can't talk, so here's another.
Now, if you could please stand for the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.